Welcome to the Locked On Steelers podcast. I am your host, Tony Serino, and this is your daily dose of all things Steelers. It is Crossover Wednesday here on the Locked On Podcast Network. Had a great conversation with Matthew and Jacob over at Locked On Ravens about this upcoming Sunday night football showdown between the Steelers and Ravens. Always a big matchup when these two play, especially when the Ravens are coming to town. But look, the Steelers have found themselves in an early division race this year with the slow start. The Steelers starting 1-1-1, and the Ravens, and both the Ravens and Bengals are 2-1 at this point. So the Steelers, look, it's not a must win against Baltimore. There's a lot of season left, and of course, the Steelers have righted the ship. But getting an early win here against Baltimore can kind of put to bed all of the nonsense that happened in the first 2 weeks. And, you know, you can start to feel good about this Steeler team again if they're able to get by the Baltimore Ravens. So let's get right to it. Here is my conversation with Matthew and Jacob over at Locked On Ravens.
Welcome to the Locked On Ravens and the Locked On Steelers crossover episode. I am Jacob Troxell here with Matthew Stevens again from Locked On Ravens and Tony Serino from Locked On Steelers. So we're going to dive into some of the matchups of the game, talk a little bit about the Ravens and the Steelers offenses, both looking good, and also the defensive side of the ball. And guys, coming into this game, this is actually the highest over under total at 51 for a Ravens Steelers matchup, that from Joe Osborne on Twitter. So pretty remarkable high scoring game we might be in store for, similar to the one that we saw last year where the Steelers won 39-38 in Pittsburgh. Sunday night's game is going to be the fifth straight primetime game at Heinz Field in this series. This is not only a great rivalry in the AFC, but one of the best rivalries in all of football, in all of the NFL. So this is a great matchup for primetime. Pittsburgh leads the series 27-21 all time. And it's such a good series because both teams are winning. That's kind of an important thing in a rivalry. And this series has been split in the regular season. Going back to 2012, it's been split four times. So a very even series. A couple quick Ravens notes for you guys. They worked out three cornerbacks this week. Anthony Avery is dealing with a hamstring injury, and they already have Maurice Kennedy on IR with a hamstring injury as well. And another notable injury, Hayden Hurst, the tight end, has a chance to practice this week. So that's just going to be something to monitor as we move through the week. The Ravens are the number one defense coming into this this game. I know it's only been 3 weeks into the season, but still something that's noteworthy. We'll get into more of the matchups in a second, but Matthew, what are you looking just kind of in general at in this game?
Well, you know, I think football is won and lost in the trenches, and that's where Baltimore hasn't necessarily been the greatest this season. And certainly when you're talking about how everything works, the run game, both for the Pittsburgh Steelers, for the Baltimore Ravens, for both their quarterbacks, you know, getting harassed, winning in the trenches offensively is important. And then defensively also being able to get your penetration to, if you're the Baltimore Ravens, seal up that defensive line and let your linebackers kind of do their work. Those are kind of the big things. But really, we've watched this matchup enough. It's going to come down to some ridiculous big play one way or another. Either there's going to be a giant interception or there's going to be a giant 80-yard touchdown to Antonio Brown that ends up deciding this game in all reality.
Yeah, and in Pittsburgh, you know, I think the Steeler fans are just excited that the season isn't over right now. I mean, if you watch that game on Monday night, the Steelers and Bucks played it down to the wire, even though the Steelers had a 20-point lead at one point in that game. And so, you know, if the Steelers had lost that game, boy, wouldn't it be just perfect for the Ravens to come into town and be that kind of nail in the coffin for the Steelers? This is a game, like you guys said, that is, you know, it is so close. It doesn't matter how these two teams are playing, what their records are at the time. We know it's going to be a close game. Coming into this game, the Steelers are dealing with some secondary problems. They've been lit up now by Ryan Fitzpatrick and Patrick Mahomes in back-to-back weeks, and they have some injuries in the secondary as well. Morgan Burnett did not play on Monday night, looks like. He'll probably be unavailable again against the Baltimore Ravens. Mike Hilton as well, their nickel corner, may be down for this game. And then Artie Burns and Cody Sensabaugh are trying to find their place at the starting outside corner position. So Mike Tomlin going with a rotation right now at outside corner opposite of Joe Hayden. Cam Sutton also in that mix as well. On the offensive line, you know, Marcus Gilbert, David DeCastro sat out last week, and it was fine, although against the Baltimore Ravens that have done such a good job of getting to Ben Roethlisberger, especially when they've been successful in this matchup, the Steelers are definitely going to want Marcus Gilbert and David DeCastro back in this football game. So the Steelers are hopeful both of those guys can play against Baltimore. And then the Steelers also have a problem at kicker right now, where Chris Boswell has missed 3 of his 4 field goals in this game and 2 extra points, although Mike Tomlin's saying in his press conference on Tuesday that there will be no change at kicker just yet. They just signed Chris Boswell to a big extension. So we'll see. The kicker problems in Pittsburgh may be real, and we'll see what happens against Baltimore. I think Boswell's going to be playing on a short leash here soon if he continues to struggle with his field goals and extra points.
Yeah, you know, I'll say this about the kicker situation over there. At least you don't have a guy that's beating up bathroom towel dispensers any longer, right? So it's not all bad, right?
That's right. Yeah, that's right. The old Jeff. You know, what I wouldn't give for Jeffrey back in Pittsburgh right now. He was not only was he a character, he was a decent kicker for his time there in Pittsburgh. You mentioned at the top there that the line on this, or the over under on this game is 51. Is it 51. This was a high scoring game the last time these two played. It was 39-38. The Steelers defense hasn't gotten much better then. And I think we can, you know, this is another one of those games, like I talked about last week on this podcast with James over at Locked On Bucks. Pound the over on this one. This is going to be a high scoring game because the Steeler defense right now is not playing a whole lot of defense. If you want to put some money down on this game, you know, just as important as who you're betting on is who you're betting with. And that's why this season, MyBookie is your best bet. They've been in business for years. They have great reviews online and their mobile site is very easy to use. That's why I'm recommending them this year. I've been using them every week for my 3-team teasers. Of course, last week I had the Patriots -1 and that one came back to bite me a little bit. But they have in-game live betting, the most rewarding player perks in the business. And for you fantasy guys out there, you can even bet the over-under on how many fantasy points a player will score in each game. MyBookie is slammed with new bettors right now, and they want to give everyone the best service possible. So if you're willing to wait until after 7 p.m. Eastern time, they'll give you an additional $25 of free play on deposits over $100. Join now, and MyBookie will match your deposit dollar for dollar. Use the promo code LOCKEDON to activate the offer. Visit MyBookie online today. That's MyBookie, MyBookie. And don't forget to use the promo code LOCKEDON when creating your account to claim up to $1,000 in free play. If you're willing to hold out until after 7 p.m., you can get that extra $25 of free play by using the promo code LOCKEDON25. It's up to you guys, but again, I'd rather wait till after 7 p.m. and get that extra $25. You play, you win, you get paid. All right, so guys, coming into this game, the Baltimore Ravens, who, look, they put up 41 against Buffalo a couple weeks ago. This was supposed to be a year that Joe Flacco was going to be replaced by Lamar Jackson. I think we've seen a little bit of a resurgence from Joe Flacco this season. What are you guys looking for when the Baltimore Ravens are on offense in this football game?
Well, again, you know, I mentioned it back in the first segment. I think the first thing that the Baltimore Ravens need to do is they need to protect Joe Flacco. They need to go ahead and open up running lanes for Alex Collins, which they haven't done so far this season. Really, this offensive line has kind of regressed from last year, which was a top five unit, to be one of the worst in the league this year. You better believe Pittsburgh is going to bring the pressure on Joe Flacco. They've seen him make plenty of mistakes over the last decade now. So they're going to bring a lot of pressure, so they need to go ahead and make sure that they protect him, much like they did in Week 3 against the Denver Broncos, who also have a very potent pass rush. And then I think the other big important thing is getting the ball out quickly, which, again, they did very, very well in Week 3, getting it to Michael Crabtree on the sideline on quick outs, getting it to Willie Snead in that zone coverage. He's great for that. And then, obviously, still going ahead and tossing it deep down to John Brown for the larger completions. But also don't forget about Mark Andrews, the rookie tight end, who kind of has been progressing each week and kind of blowing up the seam as a mismatch against either a slow strong safety or a little undersized strong safety, or against an outside linebacker that's trying to cover him and just isn't able to go ahead and do it. So a lot of matchups for Baltimore to win. But if they go ahead and protect Joe Flacco, chances are their offense is going to do pretty wonderful things. Right now, they're ranked number 5 in the NFL in points scored, which is not where anyone ever would have placed the Baltimore Ravens a month and a half ago if we were talking about where they would end up being this season in points scored.
Yeah, you know, I think that's we talk about that a lot. That's the thing we talk about is the Ravens running game and how they just haven't really got it to where they're used to having it. So far this season, 26 in rushing yards per game at 86.7 yards. But there was a slight improvement last week, I think, that's important to note. It was a good front seven from Denver that the Ravens faced. But, you know, coming in, Alex Collins was really only had 48 rushing yards in those first two games. And then he was able to average 3.8 yards a carry against Denver. And it looked like the offensive line was at least getting a little bit more of a push. And that's also a key for me in this game, not only just because you want to get the running game, and that's something that the Ravens have always kind of been able to do, along with good play on the defensive end of the ball. But when you're playing a team like the Steelers, who right now are second in total yards, and that's because of their second-ranked passing offense, being able to dictate the pace of the game is going to help out all three units of your team. When someone has such a quick strike offense like that, I mean, this is a game where the Steelers have Juju Smith-Schuster in this game, as opposed to that shootout last year where they put up 39 points without him because he was serving a suspension. So that's a huge key for me in how they're able to keep pace, kind of dictate the pace of the game, especially, you know, we always mention this, especially on the road. You want to be able to do that on the road. So, running the ball, I think, is something that's always important, and we're going to talk about that a lot as the season moves on. But when you're playing a team like this, this is especially, you know, something you want to be able to do.
Go ahead. I'm interested in this matchup because, you know, the Ravens really haven't had a wide receiver that you feared since Steve Smith retired a couple years ago, right? And now they've kind of remade that entire wide receiver core, and they brought in, you know, two tight ends in the draft now and really reloaded around Joe Flacco. Or, I mean, I guess you can make an argument that they were reloading for the future with Lamar Jackson. But regardless, I am very intrigued by the new wide receiver core you guys have with, you know, Willie Snead and Michael Crabtree. And like you said, Mark Andrews, the tight end out of Oklahoma. I'm going to be very interested to see how the Ravens go about attacking the Steelers. I know you guys were talking about running, you know, kind of dictating the pace and running the football. It just feels like, to me as a Steeler fan, that's what I want the Ravens to do, right? Because this secondary right now in Pittsburgh is, you know, I mean, it is just, it's in shambles right now. And it started with Mahomes lighting this team up, but then again, it continued on Monday night with Ryan Fitzpatrick and Joe Flacco, for whatever reason, always has great games against the Steelers. I mean, this, you know, no matter how these teams are playing and no matter how Joe Flacco is playing, he always seems to have, you know, that those kind of marquee performances against a Steeler defense. You know, this is certainly not a matchup I'm looking forward to as a Steeler fan, because I think it's going to be very high scoring like it was last week. And I think the Ravens, with all these weapons they have offensively now, are perfectly placed to put 30-plus on this team. And the Steelers are looking at potentially another shootout.
Yeah, you know, you talked about the wide receivers. We've talked about this in every single crossover episode we've done so far, and even kind of dating back into the offseason a little bit. This is a team that really, they've created an offense that is a modern offense in the fact that, you know, pick your poison. If you're the Pittsburgh Steelers, who are you going to guard? Are you going to go ahead and double Michael Crabtree and make sure that that doesn't happen? Okay, fine. Well, good luck going ahead and keeping John Brown down all game. You know, he's proceeded to beat up some pretty solid cornerbacks in the last three games. Okay, you're going to double John Brown to make sure that the big play doesn't happen. Well, Willie Snead and Michael Crabtree will certainly dink and dunk you all the way down. And with the Ravens being 100% scoring 12 touchdowns out of 12 red zone attempts, certainly once they get down there, they're pretty dangerous in the red zone in their own right. So it's, are you going to go ahead and guard all the tight end or all the wide receivers? Fine, then Mark Andrews right up the seam. You better hope that your outside linebacker or a safety can cover a guy who's 6'5", who's really big, has certainly a huge wingspan and is able to jump up and go get the football, as we saw week three, able to go ahead and do that and then hurdle guys after the fact. So, you know, Baltimore now has finally had the weapons across the board that most other starting quarterbacks have, And you mentioned Joe Flacco. You know, the reason why we're seeing such a good version of Joe Flacco is because, well, he doesn't have a 37-year-old Steve Smith like he did in 2016. He doesn't have a somewhat broken-down Mike Wallace who may or may not be a problem. He doesn't have Breshad Perriman and Torrey Smith who may or may not catch the ball on the deep throw. And as Steeler fans have been kind to remind me over the years, that heave-and-pray offense. They're much more able to pick the spot that they're going to go to, and whoever's open is typically who they're going with, which is why Joe Flacco has spread the ball around to 8-9 guys pretty much every single week in the first 3 weeks. So they're a very dangerous offense in a way that I don't think a lot of people fully understand, because they're used to that run first, grind the game out, and then hope you win on defense type of team that the Ravens have been over the last 20 years.
You know, real quick, Tony, I wanted to ask you before we get into the Steelers on offense. As far as their run defense, I guess just the Steelers defense overall, what have they looked like to you since Ryan Shazier's injury last year? And to me, it seems like, especially on the running side of things, it looks like they just haven't quite been the same. And he was a very integral part to that defense.
Yeah, no, he was definitely the playmaker on that defense, and when they lost him, things definitely fell apart. I think it's easy to draw like a straight line between, okay, Ryan Shazier gets hurt and this defense starts falling apart. You saw the warning signs though last season before Shazier got hurt. They had a weird shootout type game against Brent Huntley and the Green Bay Packers. They got lit up by Matt Stafford on Sunday Night Football, but the Lions just couldn't put the ball in the end zone, and so they ended up kicking 5 field goals in that game. But yeah, there were some warning signs of what we're seeing now, and especially in the secondary right now, last season. But certainly the loss of Ryan Shazier and trying and being really unable to replace him from a playmaking perspective. You know, they brought in John Bostic as an inside linebacker, and I think he's been better than expected so far this season, but certainly not the playmaker that Ryan Shazier was. And the other problem is that while this team has all this youth and they've been waiting for a playmaker to emerge next to Ryan Shazier, now without Ryan Shazier, and, you know, we haven't seen Bud Dupree turn into anything close to a double-digit sack guy. We haven't seen Artie Burns turn into a shutdown corner. In fact, it's been quite the opposite. He's now benched, or at least in a rotation with Cody Sensabaugh. Sean Davis has been moved to free safety. He's been fine this season, but certainly nothing to write home about. This defense definitely lacks real playmaking talent outside of their defensive line, where, of course, Cam Hayward has been so good, and, you know, Stephon Tuitt has a ton of potential. This defense certainly is lacking in that way.
Well, if you want to go see the Steelers defense or the Ravens offense in action, you got to check out Vivid Seats. Ravens fans, it's a decent drive, but you can make it there in an afternoon. If you want to go to the game, check out Vivid Seats, because they're the best source you guys can get for not only sports tickets, but also concert tickets. You guys want to go to concerts or shows, whatever, any type of event in the fall. You know, I love fall. The weather is great. I love going to sporting events in the fall, especially because it's not 100 degrees out. So you got to check out Vivid Seats. And here's the big thing. They're giving listeners an exclusive promo code. New customers, you guys get $20 off orders over $200 or more. So you got to check out them on the App Store or Google Play. Download that Vivid Seats app and use the promo code Locked On for $20 off orders of $200 or more. So if you want to upgrade, get some nice seats for the game, it's one of the best rivalries in the NFL. And even historically, man, this has been such a great rivalry. So check them out. Vivid Seats. Check that promo code Locked On for the $20 off. Make a memory and go check out the game, and go check out any Ravens or Steelers home game with Vivid Seats. So getting into the other matchup, when the Steelers have the ball and the Ravens are on defense, what are a couple things, Matthew, that you're looking for in this kind of matchup?
Again, you know, I'm going to go back to the first segment and talk about the trenches a little bit. They need to not only just go ahead and seal off the run, and without Le'Veon Bell, things are a little easier, not terribly much so, because the Steelers still are fantastic at being able to get defenses to back off that line of scrimmage and then just run it right down your throat. But if they get a better push up front from their defensive line, they'll be able to do exactly what they did last week or Sunday against the Denver Broncos, and then use their linebackers, use their safeties more in a coverage role, which will help when you're talking about Juju Smith-Schuster, when you're talking about Antonio Brown, really just the entire Steelers pass offense. You need a bunch of those guys in coverage. Make it a little bit harder on Ben Roethlisberger to find an easy target, certainly quickly. And then in turn, as we saw last week against the Denver Broncos, if the pass rush can get there, you're certainly going to go ahead and make Roethlisberger have to make quick decisions. And while he's done wonders with that against the Baltimore Ravens over the last few years, that's your best shot at winning this game, is forcing him into mistakes. And as we've seen this season, he's certainly capable of doing it. You know, the Cleveland Browns forced him into three interceptions and I believe a fumble in that game. And, he is capable of making mistakes if you force him into that. But you also have to contain the explosive play. And that's so difficult to do with this Pittsburgh Steelers offense, which is why they're one of the best in the league at what they do.
Yeah, definitely one of the more explosive offenses. And that was another key for me, just looking matchup-wise at what the Steelers and Ravens have. Like I mentioned earlier, Juju Smith-Schuster will be in this game. So for me, and the way I look at the Ravens safeties, Tony Jefferson and Eric Weddle, two veteran guys that are obviously very talented. But I think part of what makes them so good is that they're both almost a little bit better at playing the strong safety position than they are free safety. And I want to see them do a little bit better of a job limiting those big plays, especially with Juju in the game. Last year in that shootout we mentioned, Antonio Brown had a 57-yard completion. A couple other guys had bigger chunk plays, but that was kind of the big one. If you can just limit Antonio Brown, because you're not, we've talked about this again, you're not going to completely shut him down. He's too talented of a guy. And the Steelers even added James Washington into this offense. I know he's only caught 3 passes on 7 targets this year, but one of them was for a touchdown. And he's a guy who's only going to improve as a rookie. So if you can at least just slow down, keep things in front of you, especially when you're in cover 2, cover 3, cover 4 sets. I don't know how much we're going to see of that with cover 4 with Antonio Brown in the game, but especially when you're in cover 2 sets, just make sure nothing gets behind you. And I know that's much easier said than done, but not falling for double moves, making sure you're communicating the different Weddle, who would be wearing the headset, I assume, again this week. Make sure you're communicating the coverages, making sure that different guys are communicating what they're going to do on different plays. So that's a big thing for me. And if you can just limit that quick strike offense, that's a big help. And really, I can't remember a time where this series just in general hasn't been defined by one big play. And that's something you mentioned too. If it just feels like the team that can keep it together for 4 quarters without giving away that big play is the one that's going to come out. And I go back to one of my earlier memories of this series was a 13-10 Steelers win back in like 2011 or 2010. 2010, where I believe there was a late strip sack that ended up sealing the game for Pittsburgh. So it was just one of those low scoring games, and then finally a big turnover came, and that was what kind of sealed the game. So that's always just kind of been the theme of this series.
Yeah, and then there was also one of these, it was a couple years later, where Santonio Holmes caught the ball with maybe a lace was over the goal line. There was no camera angle that really showed you was he not. You're right. I mean, this game has been defined by those kind of big plays, especially those big moments in the fourth quarter. And this certainly feels like a game that's going to come down to the fourth quarter. I mean, the Steelers have played 3 games now that were decided by 8 points total. It's been that way going into last year as well. When the Steelers are on offense, I'm going to be very interested to see this matchup, what it looks like without Le'Veon Bell. Le'Veon was so good in this matchup a year ago. He dictated the running game in the first matchup. That game was in Baltimore, and the Steelers offense early last season, you know, they were still trying to find themselves, and certainly Ben Roethlisberger was trying to find himself and get comfortable with the wide receiver core. And so Le'Veon was able to kind of jumpstart the Steelers offense in that game. And then, you know, the second matchup, the shootout 38-39, that game was more about Antonio Brown. He went off in that game, but Le'Veon had a great game as well. I mean, you know, he had 120 yards of total offense in that game. They're not going to be with Le'Veon in this game, so we're going to go with James Conner, who's been good in the first 3 weeks. I think week one, you know, Steeler fans were very excited and said, you know, we're saying Le'Veon who, because, you know, James Conner is going for 100 plus in week one, and that, you know, that slowed up right as soon as he fumbled. Then week two, you know, again, that game was all about just pass, because they were down 21-0 in the first half. And then the Monday night game, again, it was very much dictated by Ben Roethlisberger and the passing game. And what I'd like to see from the Steelers in this game is to start quicker. Now, this offense hasn't had trouble putting up points. I mean, they put up 21 in a rainstorm out there in Cleveland. And then they put up, you know, they put up, what, 37 against Kansas City, and then 30 on Monday night. They've definitely been scoring, and that was a problem at the beginning of last season. They just couldn't move the ball, couldn't score. This year they're scoring, but they're kind of, yeah, just lethargic early on, and these kind of scripted plays are all very safe, and they just have not been able to move the football, and that's put them behind. The Steelers have been behind in their last two games. I mean, they went down 21-0 to Kansas City, and then they were down 7-0 to Tampa, and it took a Vance McDonald stiff arm that, you know, sent Chris Conte into the shadow realm to turn that game back around. You know, this team needs to start quicker. I mean, they have the offensive firepower to do it. And, you know, this team, again, they've just got so many weapons offensively, even without Le'Veon Bell out there. You know, you've now got Antonio Brown and Juju, and I think Juju is becoming one of the best wide receivers in the NFL right now. And certainly in this offense, surrounded by the talent that he's surrounded by, you know, it just makes it so easy for him to get one-on-one matchups against these nickel corners or even against linebackers, and he just makes them pay all the time. You know, you mentioned, you know, the Steelers kind of going downfield and worrying about, you know, keeping a safety over the top. Certainly when you look at the Steelers on paper, absolutely, right? Antonio Brown, they have James Washington, who was a great deep threat in college, and that was what a lot of people assumed coming into the season, is that this team could finally start going vertical again with, you know, replacing Martavis Bryant with James Washington. That hasn't been the case so far through 3 weeks. Ben Roethlisberger has actually been very inaccurate on a lot of his deep throws this season. So that's one thing the Steelers do need to work on, is the timing, or, you know, the ball placement on some of those deep routes, because James Washington in training camp and in preseason looked like this guy was going to be a superstar, and he and Ben Roethlisberger haven't gotten on the same page. But again, as I said, I'm going to be interested in this game to see how James Conner fares against a physical Baltimore Ravens defense. I'm also going to be interested to see how Ben Roethlisberger does. As you guys said, you know, this game is all about pressure. This game is all about big plays, and the Steelers cannot afford that big turnover at the end that will ultimately cost one of these teams the game.
Real quick, I wanted to ask you, you mentioned the tight ends, and after this we'll go to you, Matthew. Vance McDonald and Jesse James both have 10, 11 catches this year. What have you seen from them, and could you just kind of quickly, I guess briefly, describe each, their different talents and what they could do in this matchup? Because the Ravens have had some success against the tight ends, but there's have been a few games, especially recently, where the tight ends have made a big difference against the Ravens defense.
Yeah, so Jesse James, who has been the starting tight end for a while now, I mean, he's been the replacement to Heath Miller. The Steelers have certainly tried to replace Heath Miller in other ways, but it's just been injury. You know, Jesse James is a fine tight end, right? I mean, he's, you know, generally to this point in his career, he's been kind of the check down option at times. And, you know, when the first, second reads aren't there, we check it down to Jesse, and he gets his yardage that way. Never been a great combat catch guy, never been a great run after catch guy. This year, though, you know, he's in a contract year, so every time we see a player in a contract year, they're always, you know, they always have this out-of-body experience in that season, and Jesse is certainly right in there. I mean, he's having a fantastic year. The one thing about Jesse is he has such a good rapport with Ben Roethlisberger that on those kind of sandlot plays that Ben has, where he's just kind of running around making things happen, he and Jesse have been on the same page so much this season, and that's led to the big plays and then the big yardage that you've seen from Jesse, especially against Kansas City. He had a couple plays in that game where it was big catch and run on the Ben Roethlisberger rollout plays. And then Vance McDonald, I mean, that you know, he's just a big play tight end. And the Steelers have made an emphasis from day one in training camp. They were lining him out wide by himself. There was certainly an emphasis on getting him in favorable matchups because they feel like he can be a real playmaker at tight end. And that's really what they've been looking for since Heath Miller retired. And so they have a good system now where they have, you know, they have Jesse and they have Vance, and they like to use them at the same time. They even go with three tight end sets where they split them all out with Jesse, with Vance McDonald, and they bring in Xavier Grimble as well. Randy Feigner, this offensive coordinator on the Steelers, really wants to get the tight ends involved, and you've seen that the last couple weeks.
My big question is really about the pass protection for Ben Roethlisberger. You know, looking through the snaps, it looks like really the Pittsburgh Steelers rely on their offensive line to do 99.9% of the work. They don't seem to really keep a lot of tight ends or halfbacks in the backfield to help chip out. It looks like week one, that's when they did the most help on that front. But week two and week three, it's pretty much just been on the front five to go ahead and do their jobs. Is that more of a mark against maybe James Conner or Jesse James and not being able to do a good job on that front? Or is there just a confidence that the front five can do enough to go ahead and get Ben Roethlisberger enough time to find Antonio Brown or Juju Smith-Schuster? Or is it just some combination of kind of the matchup of the week versus whatever else?
Yeah, it's a little of both. You know, the point about James Conner and pass protection is a good one because that was a question coming in this year was, you know, if James Conner is going to have to take the bulk of the workload now that Le'Veon is holding out, you know, he's going to have to do well in pass protection because Le'Veon Bell was great in pass protection. Very underrated in that area. Yeah, like you said, James Conner just hasn't been utilized there. Now, is that a knock on James Conner? We didn't really, you know, in camp, you know, you don't really get to see it that much, and he was okay in preseason. Again, didn't utilize him in that way a whole lot. In fact, you know, they're much more interested in getting James Conner out there, you know, as a receiver out of the backfield, and he's been very good in that instance. Jesse, I think, has gotten better as a blocker throughout. But no, this is an offense that I think has a lot of confidence in its starting five, and even the five that was out there on Monday night, which did not have Marcus Gilbert or David DeCastro. The Steelers, I think, are one of the few teams in the NFL that actually feels good about their offensive line depth. They have a Matt Filer, who's playing right tackle right now in place of Marcus Gilbert, and then B.J. Finney playing right guard. I think the Steelers are very confident in their offensive line and confident enough to say, you know, let's take all these weapons and use them in the passing game rather than, you know, worrying about who's going to get to Ben or that sort of thing.
Excellent, excellent. Okay, because, yeah, you know, these games always come down to those, again, the big plays that we've been talking about this entire time, and a lot of that tends to start with the pass rush. And as we've seen in the one game that Baltimore has lost, they weren't able to get to Cincinnati Bengals quarterback Andy Dalton very often at all. And in turn, he was able to just pick apart a defense that was without C.J. Mosley, and Mosley may not play in this game. We're not entirely sure quite yet. It's probably going to come down to the last minute. And then Jimmy Smith also being out with his suspension. So certainly it seems like Baltimore's defensive matchups are going to depend a lot on if they can rattle Roethlisberger early and often.
Yeah, and I should have mentioned this when we were talking about the Ravens on offense, but the Steelers, you know, they led the league in sacks last year, but I think every Steeler fan knew a little bit smoke and mirrors. I mean, it wasn't like they were beating guys one-on-one or getting pressure with four. They had to manufacture those blitzes and manufacture that pressure in a lot of different ways, and we've kind of seen that come back this year where the Steelers have had a really tough time getting to quarterbacks this season. Especially against Mahomes. Fitzpatrick was good, and they got to Fitzpatrick in the first half. In the second half, again, it all fell apart, and they were trying to manufacture a blitz and couldn't do it. You're right. Pass rush is going to be a big part of this game, and my fear for the Steelers is that because Bud Dupree is not great in one-on-one situations, because TJ, while he gets a lot of effort sacks, he hasn't been great in one-on-one. They're going to have to continue to bring blitzes, and that's, you know, with a secondary that is already not playing well, that's just going to leave more holes in the secondary.
Yeah, that was one of the things that definitely stood out to me was just the dedication that the amount of guys they were sending early in that Monday night game against Tampa Bay to get to the quarterback, and because they knew seemed like they knew on the back end that they needed a little bit of help with the pass rush. But as the week goes on, you know, we'll follow through the rest of the injury reports, and Wednesday and Friday, of course, always a big practice day. Friday, typically, if guy's not practicing on Friday, he's probably not playing in the game. And Wednesday, another big day, because typically if you see a guy, even if he's limited on Wednesday, normally is a good sign that he'll be playing in the game. But we are the Locked On Ravens and Locked On Steelers. You can find us on Twitter at Locked On Ravens. And Tony, can we find you on Twitter anywhere?
Yeah, it's at Steeler Country on Twitter.
Perfect. Right on. So go follow us. We'll keep you guys up to date, and we'll preview a little bit more of this matchup as the week goes on.
All right, hope you guys enjoyed that conversation. Always good to talk to the other side, even if it is the Baltimore Ravens. And look, there's a lot of confidence in Baltimore right now, and I guess rightfully so. You know, going into this season, I think a lot of people expected, I certainly expected, a lot of turmoil in Baltimore. Drafting the heir apparent to Joe Flacco in Lamar Jackson. Of course, Joe Flacco had such a bad year a year ago. You felt like it was just a matter of time before they made the switch from Flacco to Lamar Jackson. Instead, as we talked about, Joe Flacco's had a bit of a resurgence this year. Not fantastic this year, but certainly much better, and hasn't turned the ball over with the kind of regularity that he's done in recent history. So, look, this is going to be an interesting matchup between the Steelers and Ravens. New faces on Baltimore's offense. Of course, the Steelers are going in this game without Le'Veon Bell. So we'll see how this matchup plays out. That'll do it for me today. Thank you all for listening. If you want to leave feedback, SteelerCountry@gmail.com is the email address. You can follow me on Twitter at SteelerCountry. And tomorrow, it is my film review of Steelers-Bucks right here on Locked On Steelers.